Okay, we're recording.
All right, here we are, sitting in the back of the Louvre.
Yeah, there's the Eiffel Tower right there.
Yeah.
And the Louvre Gardens.
Super nice.
Yeah, there's lots of French people everywhere.
Yeah, maybe you'll hear some in the back, being like, boom. All right, I'm going to sing my song right now that I came up with. Okay, here we go. Je t'aime mon petit frère, je t'aime mon petit frère, je t'aime mon petit frère, je t'aime frère.
Is that, that's I love you, bro?
I love you, my little brother, and then I love you, brother.
Oh, that's cute. So we're talking about our road trip that we took from Germany, from Berlin, all the way to Paris.
Yeah, it was great. So when we first recorded it, we were kind of in the middle of it, but we started in Berlin. Nick got this huge bus of a van.
Using nine people, I think it said that it could seat nine people and four pieces of luggage. So it was giant. You could sleep in the back of it.
Yeah, Sonia was sleeping in the back. We drove. The first day was long. Drove about 8 hours. Stopped in some cute little German towns.
Yeah, we had Lindau and Limbau.
Well, the first one was like shitty. It was just like suburbia, but in Europe.
Yeah, but the best tomato soup in Europe.
Oh yeah, the tomato soup was great. So if you ever are in Germany,
gotta find Lindau. I can't remember the name though. So
so good luck. Good luck with that.
Something that starts with an L in the middle of Germany has good tomato soup. And then there was like suburban kids like sitting outside of the supermarket. Like,
yeah.
Punks.
Talking in German like, oh, this town sucks.
Scheiße. This town is scheiße.
This town is scheiße.
And then we stopped and we did our podcast in Hüvegedeviden.
Yeah, this is great travel stuff. We don't know the names of any place.
Hüvegedeviden. Yeah, in Amsterdam, near Amsterdam. It's by Githeron. And that was what we did the next day. We went to Githeron, which is like...
That was cool. That was like this little like hobbit town with all these little like hay roofs. And we got in the boat and Sonia was like, Nathaniel, you drive the boat.
And yeah, you can take a boat through canals. And yeah, Sonia said, yeah. Nathaniel, you do it.
And we immediately found out that was not the good thing to do because I was swerving all over. Plus you have to like steer backwards. So when you push your hand one way, the boat turns the opposite direction, and that's very confusing for me. I can't. So I'm like dyslexic a little bit. So.
Yeah, it's hard. I hurt my foot sledding that way once because when you sled, if you want to turn when you're sledding, you put your hand down, but you put your opposite hand down, and you'll turn
the other way.
So like if you put your left hand down, then you'll turn right.
Okay.
And so I was trying to turn left, and I put my left hand down, and then I turned right and crashed into a big block of ice, and I hurt my foot once. So I knew exactly what you were going through when it was happening. When we were like, turn left, and you kept going right, where I was like, uh-oh, we're fucked.
Yeah, so Sonia then immediately took over and was much better.
Yep.
But when we got on the, like, we got to, like, this big open water place, we saw all these guys, like Dutch guys, and they were like Dutch bros.
Yeah, they were smoking.
Drinking, smoking, and singing.
In a boat.
And you guys didn't like them right away. I was like, cool.
I didn't like them right away. I already was like, fuck these guys.
I was like, whatever, they're having fun. But then they got ahead of us in the canals, and they were just like slowly drifting. And so...
We kept almost hitting them,
and they were like, oh, they were just dicks.
Well, every time, and then to avoid hitting them, we would hit the side of the wall.
Right.
And they were like, you're not getting your deposit back. Oh, it's like, yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, so they were the Dutch bags. Big, huge Dutch bags. And then we got to the parking lot. It was like full. by the time we got back.
Fucking shit.
And Nick had to back his, like, huge-ass bus back out. So I got out to, like, help him, to, like, tell him he wasn't going to hit stuff. And this, like, douchebag of, like, a German guy came up and was like, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, he'll pull the car out. Well, the worst part about it was that there was a big group of people waiting to take the space because the parking lot was full. And so there was just a huge crowd of people watching me pull out.
Yeah, that's always unhelpful.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah. So there was that. Then we went on to Amsterdam. That was cool. Amsterdam is so nice. I need to go back because we didn't get to spend much time there. Because we got there in the night and then...
Left in the morning.
In the morning. So kind of walked around, did a little bit. But we got some mushrooms.
Which is part two of the Mushroom Podcast.
Yeah, psychedelics.
And so I didn't do very many. I did like a small dose. I took a few. But then Sonia did some and you did.
Yeah.
And how was that? What was it like?
It was fun. Like, I wish we could have done it in a more ideal place. Because we did it at night at, like, in the little town outside of Amsterdam. So we just kind of walked and sat by this church. but it was fun. It was fun to do.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I love them so much. I think that they just, like, open you up. And, I don't know, when we were sitting there and then they started to kick in, and we just started giggling and laughing. And it's just, like, such a beautiful... moment. I love it.
Yeah,
it just reminded me of kind of the way you are when you're a kid.
Yeah,
a little kid. I remember we used to giggle like that and laugh about stuff like that, like just unbridled crazy laughter when we were kids.
Yeah,
for no reason.
Yeah,
you're just doing stuff and you think it's super funny and you can just enjoy it and you can laugh and you don't worry about anything.
Yeah,
and I think they do that. I think mushrooms kind of take you back to a state when you're a kid. So
yeah. This is great.
Yep. Recommend. High recommend. Everybody do mushrooms.
And then the next day, we were driving to Paris, but we stopped in Ghent, Belgium, which was also pretty cool.
I liked Ghent.
Yeah, it was a really cool town.
Yeah.
We just had lunch and walked around a church.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And you had an IPA in Belgium.
I did. I did have my first IPA. It's like all the beers here are like pilsners, but there was an IPA there, so.
Okay. But and then we drove into France on that same day. And,
yeah.
And I went. Oh, so after we dropped you off in near your place, and after we dropped you off, I had to park that giant van in a parking garage.
Oh no.
And it was literally 1 inch close to, like, 1 or 2 inches about before hitting the roof.
Yeah.
So I just, it looked as I was driving it that it was just scratching the roof the whole time. But Sonia was saying it was okay.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah, it was really, really, really scary. Yeah, so I guess what I wanted to ask you is, what are your, since your first time in Europe, I've been here for a year, what are things that stand out to you in Europe that you think, oh, Europe is, this is different, or this is cool, or this sucks, or what?
I think for Paris, I feel like this feels like a big city like New York, but everyone's kind of relaxed here. In New York, everyone's hustle and bustle and kind of stressed. Here, I don't feel that sense. I feel like everyone's just chilling, even though it's like a big city and there's hustle and bustle and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Case in point, everybody is literally chilling.
Yeah, around us, just hanging out. Yeah, everyone just sits in cafes and is super calm. The other places I didn't, like the little towns, I didn't get to stay long enough, I don't think, but just like the architecture is crazy here.
What about your time in Berlin? What did you
know? The architecture in Berlin is not what I pictured. Like, this is the first city I went to, and it's just like, everything was built after the war, so it's all kind of like just stuff I'm used to, the architecture, I guess, mostly.
Yeah, yeah.
Every once in a while you'll go to a street and you're like, oh, this is cute European little structure, but
yeah.
But as for, like, I don't know what I feel about it was super awesome. It was cheap. It was really cheap in Berlin, I felt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Berlin is really cheap. Beer is cheap.
Paris, not so much.
Not really at all. It's stressful. That's my takeaway from being in Europe for a year, is that everything, well, not everywhere, but I like the cheap places more than the expensive places. That's my takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, Poland is dope.
Okay.
And Hungary is dope because it's cheap.
Yeah, you like cheap.
I like cheap. It's fun and cheap. Like, you can do the same kind of shit.
Yeah.
People are hanging out and whatever, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's funny when I tell people I like Poland a lot. They're like, really? Like, yeah, dude, it's cool.
Well, why really? Just, I guess, because you just don't hear about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody knows about it.
Nobody's like, let's go to Poland.
Which they should, but then that's the catch-22, is that when they do, then it'll get more expensive.
Exactly. So. It's like all the waterfalls on Maui.
What about them?
Like, they're super dope, but then when you tell everyone, everybody goes, and it's not as cool anymore.
Yeah, it's
to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like hipsters and music.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you think about in terms of... So, this is your, like... second time leaving the United States, right?
Yeah.
What do you feel about not being in the U.S. anymore?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like,
I mean, does it feel different or does it feel like the same?
No, when I went to Taiwan, which was the first one, I thought I was going to be more in culture shock, but I wasn't. And here I feel the same. Maybe it's living in New York. I'm surrounded by a lot of different cultures, but
yeah. Well, not also so much. You don't have to live here. Like, you're not,
right,
you're
right.
Not having to do, you're not
normal
having to do,
things.
Like,
yeah.
Deal with stuff.
Right, right. I don't have to.
It's just vacation, so you can kind of chill.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about Europe too. Is even though like they don't speak English here, I feel like they're surrounded by people who speak a lot of other different languages, so they kind of know how to deal with you.
Right.
Like, when people come in to where I work and don't speak English, it's very hard for me to...
Deal with them. You have Spanish speakers come in there a lot?
Yeah, that's funny. Like, when people come into Mexican restaurants, they expect you to know how to speak Spanish.
Is that funny, though?
What?
I don't know. I think that's... kind of.
Why would you expect that? Do you go to a Russian restaurant in America and expect everyone to speak Russian?
If I was Russian and I went to a Russian restaurant, I would probably at least think at first. I wouldn't. If I did and they didn't, I would be like, oh, okay. But I would initially. Well, like, so I can speak Chinese, and if I go to a Chinese restaurant, I'll speak Chinese.
Okay.
I would assume that the... And that happened in Berlin once. Like, we went to a Taiwanese restaurant.
Yeah,
I spoke Chinese to the waitress, and she didn't speak. She was Taiwanese, but born in Berlin, so she only spoke German.
And did you think that was weird?
A little bit. You're making food from the place, so.
Yeah, but you're not. I don't get that. Like, yeah, because people will get like, why don't you speak Spanish? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I get it, because she, you know, she's just a kid of her parents probably run it or whatever, and she grew up there, and she's just helping out the restaurant, and it's not necessary for her to speak Chinese. It's just, it was a little bit of a shock to me. I was like, oh, okay. And it was more frustrating for me, because I don't speak German, so I'm like, okay, now I can't order.
Right. Well, she didn't speak English either?
Kind of, but not that well.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So okay. I had to talk to my German friend to order at a Chinese restaurant. I was like, this is weird.
I don't know. I don't think it's weird.
And the food was not good. But if you go to a Chinese restaurant, that place, the food was not good.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
And if you go to a Chinese restaurant where they speak Chinese, the food is going to be better. I've always found.
Okay. Well.
Authentic.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's just a waiter. It's not the
Yeah.
cook. So.
But But, I mean, even the cook, you don't have to speak the language to cook the food.
Maybe not.
I mean, restaurants, people speak Spanish, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. If I mean, if you went into a Chinese restaurant and everybody was speaking Spanish in the kitchen, wouldn't you think that was weird?
I guess I would, but I don't know. Oh,
party going on.
Something happened. Some kids are, something's up.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Anything, what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Well, okay. So, So, in one of the last episodes, we sort of started talking about The Purge, like the movie. And before you lost it, I wanted to like delve deeper into it. So I just want to tell you like the history of The Purge.
Okay.
If you if
do you remember what we said about The Purge in the other episode?
You were talking about the windows in
In Germany.
And how they like close, and I just briefly was like, oh, that sounds like The Purge. And you're like, yeah. And then we sort of like talked about how The Purge, like what's the idea of The Purge, and like why do we think that, like,
why would that help? Like, yeah. It's one day of the year that you can kill people and do whatever it, like, you want. And
yeah,
why would that help society be better?
Well, what I learned from my research is that it's not, it's all a freaking the government is tricking you. Like, that's the government's reason, but that's not why. They're doing it to, like, get rid of poor people in the movie.
Oh, that's the real reason.
Yeah. But I want to talk about, because the funniest thing to me is, this isn't, like, in the plot of the movie, this isn't, like, a different government. This is the American government that does this, which I think is weird. It's not, like,
a
new
society.
Form of government takes over. It's like, it's the 28th Amendment to the Constitution that institutes The Purge. So I just wanted to talk about the actual amendment. Maybe we could like
break it down.
Analyze it. So section one is, the annual purge will begin each year on June 20th at sunset, officially starting at 7 p.m. and ending at sunrise at 7 a.m. It's pretty straightforward.
It's clear.
It's, you know, 12
very
hours
constitutional.
Long. Yeah. During the time of the purge, any and all crime, up to and including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours. Police, fire, and hospital aid will be unavailable until the purge concludes. Okay. That's the idea of the purge.
Okay.
So all crime is legal. So you can't get any help. You can rape, you can murder. You can... This one is what's weird to me. Section 3. The following weapons cannot be used during the purge. Weapons of mass destruction, fragment-producing explosives higher than a whatever hazard class HC, viral contagion projectiles, recommended weapons, AR rifles and handguns of caliber 6.2, and all bladed weaponry.
So I get it. I get why that is part of it. Because then you would have... Well, then so you like would have
all
somebody...
crime is legal except...
Except nuking everyone. They don't want you to nuke the city. Because then you would just... Some fucking weirdo would just be like, okay, I'm just going to set a nuclear bomb in the middle of the city and blow it up. And you don't have any cities anymore. They don't want you to destroy the infrastructure. It makes sense to me. Just keep the infrastructure
intact. But
how
can you...
And kill people. That's the whole point.
How can you, like, establish this, like... Like, all crime is legal, except you can't use these kinds of
weapons.
Well,
okay, and if it is to get rid of poor people, like you say, then it makes perfect sense, because the point is they value property over human lives.
And also, you're recommending weapons to them. That's my other favorite part. Recommending blades, because it looks cool in a movie, I think.
What's a blade?
Bladed weaponry.
Oh, okay.
Like knives and shit.
Right, they're recommending that?
Yeah, it says recommended weapons.
Yeah, AR rifles, handguns of caliber,
all bladed weaponry. Okay. Here's the part. Section 4. Government officials of ranking 5 and higher have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
So
how do we know? Like, if you're like a purger,
If you're purging.
And you put on your, like, stupid, like, animal mask or whatever it is. And you're just going crazy. And then some, like, government guy is like, oh, here's my ID. Don't kill me. You're just going to stop.
Be like, yeah, right. I'm purging this shit.
I'm purging right now.
Fuck with me while my bloodlust is going on.
But in the latest movie. What's the latest movie? No, not the...
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, I don't know. And then section 5, non-compliance with any of the aforementioned rules rules out in death by hanging.
So if you
kill a government official or use a viral contagion, you hang. You get hanged.
What are the other things again? If you don't kill people, do you get hanged?
No, I don't think you have
you
to kill
can,
people.
You just can, right?
Yeah. I think if you just use one of the wrong weapons or kill someone in the government.
What if you are an ambulance person that works on that day?
Do you get hung? I guess maybe you do.
You save people's lives on the purging time.
Yeah, so... But I think that's funny that this is an amendment to the Constitution, so it had to get, like... 60,
ratified.
Yeah. All the states had to ratify it. And
yeah, what kind of... I wonder in this world, like, what kind of event led that to be, like... I mean, well, I guess maybe right now in the country, some people would probably think that was a good idea.
Yeah. I mean...
It doesn't seem that... Nothing seems that crazy anymore to me.
The purge. The purge seems crazy to me.
That could happen.
You think the purge could happen?
I mean, I don't think it would pass. I don't think it would pass. But
I
think somebody could be like, we should have a purge.
I mean, Trump, because he saw it on TV or on the movies, would do it.
Yeah, he could be like, let's have a purge.
We're going to have a purge. It's going to be the most beautiful purge you've ever seen.
That would be fun. I mean, like, in the middle of, like, an exercise.
Yeah. There's like partying going on. This is an interesting episode, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. Maybe we should end this in a minute.
Okay.
On that note. But maybe first before we do.
Okay.
I mean, I guess obviously I wouldn't want to participate in the purge. But if you did, what would be your animal? What would be like your purge outfit?
Okay. I mean, I guess I'd want, like a little girl's face, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Like, something really cute and innocent, right? And then, like, some scary, like, leather black.
Oh, I would
I like
do
that
reverse.
Juxtaposition.
I would do reverse. I would wear, like, a pink dress.
Oh.
And then, like a real scary face, like a...
Okay.
Like a demon face.
That's better, probably. But we should go together.
Yeah, of course. We should purge together.
Yeah, we'll be like purge buddies, and we'll be like mixed and matched.
I mean, it's interesting that it's to get rid of poor people because obviously I'm killing rich people. Like,
right.
That's who I would go for.
But the thing is, like in the movie, is the rich people can afford to protect themselves. Like, they can buy the house with the windows and shit. And poor people can't.
Right. So if you're poor...
Poor people are out on the street that night.
Yeah, you're living on the street, so it's easy to just find, like, a homeless guy and kill
right.
him.
Right. Oh, and, okay, in the latest one, the first purge or whatever, the very first purge took place on Staten Island, which makes a lot of sense to me.
I thought they were everywhere.
In the latest movie, which is, the prequel... It's the first one, and they've tried it out first on Staten Island. In the very first movie, it's all over the country.
Right,
but the
okay.
first time it happened, they were like, let's test this purge out. And it was Staten Island.
Wow. Okay.
I did a lot of research about the purge.
Did you watch these movies?
I have not. I've read Wikipedia articles.
Oh, okay. The Eiffel Tower is lighting up.
Yeah, it's cool. It's all sparkly.
And we are in the middle of, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
a
no
lot
idea what
of
is
sound.
Happening here.
Well, there's these kids, like, partying, and then there's, like, an exercise group.
They're taking pictures of themselves.
They are?
Yeah, they did a group picture just now.
Oh.
And those people, like, on bikes with techno music going by.
Yeah. There's a great soundproof studio we have here.
Yeah. Reggaeton. And there's people doing capoeira behind us. Or something like that.
Nice.
All right. Well, it's getting louder and louder, so until next time.
What's up?
I love you, bro.
Love you too, bro.